We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, in the twinkling of an eye, you shall return. Oh, keep us ready. Keep us ever waiting through the power of your word, dear Lord. Fill our hearts to overflowing with a joy to see you face to face, eager anticipation of the joys of heaven. Bless us now and forever through the power of your word. Amen. Did you find it difficult waking up this morning? Boy, give me a few days off with Thanksgiving vacation, a change in my routine, and it's amazing how quickly I can slip into that habit of sleeping in as long as I possibly can. Ooh, that is good. Paul talks to the Romans about sleeping. He tells them to wake up from their slumber. What picture does that paint in your head? A nice little mother who kind of calls, "Johnny, Johnny, wake up. It's another day of school." Johnny's lost in this dreamland, and all of a sudden the nudging gets him to open up his eyes to the bright dawn of another day. Could be, but Paul is talking about a slumber here that's more than just kind of being unconscious. It has to do with slumbering and not really understanding the evil of this world, the darkness that is all around us, and the imminence of Christ coming back again. That's a different sort of sleep. It reminds me of the story I told about Phil Willis. Phil got out of college, was kicked out of college after his second year. You see, Phil went to college more to party than to study. And finally, after 2 years, they were just done with him. Well, he came back to live with his mom, Ruby. And Phil got various different jobs around, but he'd lose them as quickly as he got them because he drank too much. One night he really went out to party, drank all night long, came home early in the wee hours of the morning, went into the bathroom and got sick over everything, threw up all over the place, and fell asleep on the bathroom floor. A few hours later, Ruby got up to start her day, and she saw the mess. Oh, she stood over him, she grabbed him by the collar, she was shaking him, "Wake up, wake up." And he was slowly gaining consciousness just in time to see her wheel her arm back and come crashing down. She smacked him in the face as hard as she possibly could. And she screamed at the top of her lungs, "Wake up! You're killing yourself and you're killing me." Ruby wasn't talking about just wake up and don't be unconscious. She was talking about waking up to realize what his sin was doing to him. Are we in the slumber of sin? Is there something that Jesus would stand over us for and grab us by the collar and whack us side the head and say, "Wake up, what do you think you are doing? This is not how God's people behave." Would he like to slap some sense into us and tell us to wake up? The time is almost up. Are there lies that we tell ourselves along with telling other people that God would want to shake out of us? Perhaps we destroy other people with our gossiping. Oh, there always has to be a juicy story to talk about somebody, some way or another. Or maybe we bring dishonor to God's name by using it to curse and swear, the vulgarest of language, the cruelest of words, just to humiliate and tear other people apart. And without even thinking of it, all these sins just vomit out of our mouths, and we think they're all okay, no big deal. When in reality, they're condemning us and they're destroying other people. Or maybe Jesus would rather smack us for what we do with our hands rather than what we do with our tongues. Are our hands the hands of thieves? Do we lay hands on what does not belong to us? Are our hands the hands of adulterers? The hands of a bully? Or maybe we have hands that sin by what they don't do. Hands folded in apathy and laziness. The hands of neglect. When Jesus appears in the doorway, are there any specific sins we are hoping he just doesn't bring up to us, that he doesn't ask us about? Well, before Jesus rips open the sky, he sends forth his word to prepare our hearts for his arrival. And what does he say? Wake up. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Do we hear his eager anticipation? Our salvation is nearer now. Night almost over. Day just about here. And these words were spoken 2,000 years ago. We end up with one conclusion or the other. Either Paul doesn't really know what he's talking about, or Jesus' glorious return is any day now. Look up. Look up. Do we want to live in that same eager anticipation Paul had? That any moment now, our Lord's going to appear? Or would we prefer to be caught up in sleeping, caught off guard? Oh, is that you, Lord? I remember a PBS special on the Second World War. It focused on this one soldier fighting over in the Japanese conflict. And they were going from island to island, and he was so worried that his mother and father would never really find out what happened to him. He was pretty certain he would fall on one of these islands. The fighting was so fierce. And he realized he had two sets of dog tags. On one island, when the Americans had quite a few casualties, they dug a mass grave and put the bodies in, marked it so they could recover those bodies and send them back home. But for the moment, they were in this mass grave. And he took his second set of dog tags and threw them in there. He wanted some closure for his mother and father. He was sure he'd be killed on one of these islands, and he didn't want his body lost and his parents always wondering whatever happened to their son. Well, his plan worked. A couple months later, soldiers came to his mother and father and with the news he had fallen on this island. And oh, they grieved, and they grieved. The strange thing is, 2 years later, he came walking up their long driveway to their farmhouse. They were flabbergasted. They weren't expecting him. They had given up on that hope a long, long time ago. Why, his mother even fainted when she saw him. Many will faint when they see Jesus. They'll be so caught off guard. The shock, their sins, their lack of faith and their love for all things evil will be their undoing. May that never be us. Like cockroaches, when the Lord of all glory appears, they will run for any dark corner or deep hole they can find, but there will be none with the brilliant sunshine of Jesus. while we live in the darkness of this fallen world, before he appears, we need to be looking up constantly, looking up in daily repentance, not condoning or covering over our sin with more darkness, but to be confessing and trusting in his forgiveness. We need to be looking up with songs of salvation. I know that my Redeemer lives. We need to be looking up with this unmovable anticipation. Our Lord is coming any day now. It's right at hand. We're to do all the normal activities that there is to do in this world and what it means to live here, but always looking up. We grow up, we grow old, we have fun, we go to school, we go to work, we work hard, we get married, we have children, we make homes, we make plans, and then we change our plans because none of our plans ever work out the way we planned. Always looking up. Day after day, from our cradle to our grave, we contend with our weaknesses, our sicknesses, our sinfulness. Looking up. Looking up to him who sustains us through his powerful word. We see the very face of the invisible God through his glorious word. We look up at the night sky, knowing full well, beyond that, that God is looking down on us, listening to our prayers, pouring out his blessings each and every day. He knows everything that happens to us, even every beat of our heart. From his throne room on high, he forgives our sins, our evil, and washes our filth clean. He holds us in the palm of his hand and lifts us over the tragedies and trials and everything that would destroy us if it could destroy us, preserves us for himself until that hand of God takes us to be with him in glory. One thing we're certain about is that when Jesus arrives, when he rips open the sky and makes his appearance, we'll be in the middle of planning something. We'll be planning to go swing on in the park. Or we'll be planning to get married. Planning a vacation. Planning the big deal that we're going to land that will change our life forever. Or maybe we'll be picking out our coffin. Whatever our plans for that day might be, they will come to a sudden screeching halt. He puts down the stop. Here he is. But that'll be okay to us that he's interrupting our plans because we like his plans. He's come to take us home to be in glory forever and ever. And that's just fine with us. But notice how his arrival and anticipating that arrival changes every day from here to that day, as few as those might be. Paul writes, "So, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness or in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do not think about how to gratify the desires of our sinful nature." Armor up. God offers us all the protection and strength that we will ever need. He promises us that in his heavenly light of armor. Now that's a fascinating picture. God is going to armor us with his armor. God's armor isn't made of steel or brass or anything else we know here in this world. God's strongest armor is himself. There is nothing stronger. He clothes us with the power of God, the light of Christ Jesus. I admire undercover cops. I don't know how they do what they do. It's such a scary and dangerous world they live in. They take off their bulletproof vest. They take their badge and put it in hiding. They surrender their radio. And they go out in the world and act just like the criminals in order to infiltrate the criminals so that they can catch the criminals. God doesn't tell us to be undercover Christians. He wants us to be fully armed all the time, every day of our life, like a SWAT team, like a riot police, always carrying our armor everywhere. Because the moment we set his armor aside, we're sitting ducks. We're marked by Satan and his evil angels, and they want to do us damage. And so God calls for us to armor ourselves. He is our strength, our shield, our ever-great reward. He wants us to focus our minds on whatever's good and loving and pure and admirable and God-pleasing. He says, do not think about how to gratify the desires of our sinful nature. Put away those desires. Oh, our sinful minds wants to lead us down all kinds of dark alleys to dream and scheme of everything that is rotten and miserable in the eyes of the Lord and somehow justify it. But we need to put our stake in the ground and say, no, I'm not going there with my mind or my mouth or my hands. Rather, we need to clothe ourselves just like we wrap ourselves in a warm woolen coat, so we clothe ourselves with Christ. He's the one who gives us his belt of truth to wrap around our waist, that his truth might be our truth and nothing but his truth. He places his breastplate of righteousness over our hearts so we are no longer condemned. He protects our mind and our thinking by his helmet of salvation. He is the one who puts his gospel shoes on our feet, that powerful gospel that can take us anywhere, traverse any terrain, those marvelous shoes that'll help us leap into heaven, all through the power of our Lord. And he gives us that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with which we can cut off Satan's head and all of his evil angels. There is nothing that can come against the Word of God. And so he armors us in his armor so that we might stand strong to the very end, all through his Word and sacraments. The light that radiates from his face, he fills in our hearts and makes us aglow in his grace and glory. We are different than the unbelieving world, and we are supposed to be different as we walk in the joy and peace of our Lord. Oh, the night might be dark. The days here on planet Earth might be terrible. And yet we have an unending source of joy and peace, hope and strength, all from beyond this world, from the presence of our Savior in our lives. So when we wake up, every day is a new beginning, a day of His mercy and His grace, to begin again as He would have us. So whether we are slow to wake up in the morning or whether we pop out of bed like a piece of toast and run into our days, how good it is for our eyes to be wide open to see the darkness of this world, but to see also this might be the day, this very day, our Savior might return with all his holy angels. And so he calls for us to be sober, clear-minded, self-disciplined, that we might give him glory and honor in this day. What a beautiful life he has crafted for us as he calls for us to wake up, look up, and armor up. Amen. Please rise.
We pray. Heavenly Father, work in all the circumstances of our life. Work your holy word into our hearts and lives that we might see your hand preserving and protecting us. Make us ready, dear Lord, for that glorious and awesome day. Fill us with an eager anticipation to live for you and not for ourselves. To you be our thanks and praise, now and forever. Amen.